Dear ones, let's unite our hearts in prayer before we open his word. Lord, it is in thy house that we have come together this evening. A joy fills our hearts when we come together in the quietness of this evening, in this moment, as we call upon thee in prayer. With thy word before us, O Lord, we call upon thee for a blessing upon the reading of thy word, a blessing upon the meditation of thy word, that our hearts would be uplifted and fed and admonished and nourished in all truths, O Lord, that thou hast given. So bless our coming together, from the youngest unto the oldest, O Lord. What a joy it is to come together and to worship thee. We ask all these favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, let's turn together with God's help and read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 7. I desire to read the first 23 verses. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, the first 23 verses. Ljubav ne želim da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću iz Evanđelja po Marku, 7. glava, prvi 23 brojeva. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, often eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other things of such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which he have delivered, and many such things ye do. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever things from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile the man. This is the extent of our reading. May God bless our reading together, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we turn to thee on bended knee, acknowledging that thou art the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, that thou art all-knowing and all-powerful, the one true God, and that thy mercy endures to all generations. Lord, our words fail to be able to express thy glory and the praise that thou art due. So, Lord, our prayer is that thou would speak to us, because we have such great need to receive thy word to our hearts. We thank thee for the words that have been recorded and preserved for us, the words of Jesus Christ, the inspired word of God, and the power of thy Holy Spirit that is able to bring these words to our hearts and pierce through our minds and to our very thoughts and intents. Jesus has asked all who are around to hearken, every one. So we ask, Lord, that thou would provide a listening ear for us. Grant that we would have a humble and willing heart to take the word that has been spoken, to allow it to penetrate and do its perfect work, to teach us how to avoid ruin by the power of thy grace. The ruin that is coming because of us. Lord, we need thy mercy and thy forgiveness. And we pray that we would find that fount of truth and life as we meditate upon the words of our Savior. Bless each one who has come with an abundant blessing that thou art coming into our midst as we come in Jesus' name to provide. May we be able to avail ourselves of what thou art offering to us. This we humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear ones, as we have come together this evening with the word of God before us and Jesus' words recorded, speaking to us and to our hearts, it is my prayer that as we have assembled together, that our hearts would really come together around his word. Therein, in the reading of it, we have so much blessing, so much instruction, if we but yield unto him. And I know that we were all off from coming to church for some time. And I'm sure as it gone through your minds, as it did mine often, as we stayed home and we shared time with our families together, the lack of coming together, of being with our brothers and sisters, with our friends, with the children, and worshiping the Lord together. And then I thought of how do I worship him? And it felt there was a lack. There was a lack. There was something that felt like it was missing. And I thought it's because I know that we could get together and we're not in church. And even though we listen to sermons on recordings and so on, and perhaps more sermons than I do on a typical Sunday, it's still in some way made me question my worship. And what does it mean? What does worship mean to me? How do I worship him? And is it from coming together? Do I get a comfort level of being together in the church, together in the sanctuary, with all of you together? As we pray together, as we sing hymns, we can blend our voices together, and we can pray, and we can cast into the treasury. We can do all the things that a church does together. And we can still be deceived into feeling that that is worship. Because Jesus tells the woman at the well that God is a spirit, and all who worship him must. This isn't a maybe, it's a must. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's no other way to worship God, in spirit and in truth. And so then we have to reflect on our life. Am I worshiping my God, who told me I must worship him in spirit and in truth? Because my coming together and singing and all the things that we do as a church, I can leave here without having actually worshiped him, because it's all about the inner man. And we read on Sunday, and as we read these verses this past Sunday, my thought came to me was, there's an alarm clock that just went off. It actually says that in the verses that we read on Sunday. There's an alarm clock. It went off. Did we hear it? Because he says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Or no, earlier he says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake. What causes us to awake? What do we do when we go to bed, when we're going to go to sleep? And we know we have to get up. We set an alarm. And we're asleep. And the only way we're waking up is when that alarm blares. It rings at the set time that we feel it needs, that I need to get ready to get to work or whatever obligation I might have. So an alarm clock jars me, wakes me. Or do I hit the snooze? I don't want to get up. I'm comfortable sleeping. Well, Sunday we read that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The night is over. Wake up. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The armor. That protects us is the armor of light. Jesus Christ says, I am the light. Two verses later, we're told in plain terms, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he tells, the alarm clock rings, wake up. Wake up and put on the armor of light. And so then we think about ourselves and how we worship. Do we worship in spirit and in truth? Or are we deceived into believing that we are worshiping God, but our hearts are far from him? And those are things, dear ones, that Jesus is actually speaking of here. He's talking about those things which defile a man. He talks about the ceremonial things that the Pharisees had done, and they came to him here. They're looking for a fault in him. Look who they're looking for a fault in. The one who came, who did many miracles. The one who walked on water. On the waves, the raging waves of the sea, he walked on it. He healed many diseases. Did all nothing but good. All good, because he is good. And so they came to find a fault in him. And so they look to his disciples and they see them eating with unwashed hands. And so they accuse the disciples, but actually they're accusing him. It's an indirect assault on Jesus. Look what your disciples are doing, the ones who are following you. Why aren't they walking according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? And Jesus turns and answers them And he brings out the book and the chapter and the verse of Isaiah. He goes, well, had Isaiah prophesied of you. And he's not being, well, I don't want to offend him. He says, you're a hypocrite. He says, Isaiah spoke well about you hypocrites. A hypocrite. He tells those who are worshipers of God, he tells them, you are hypocrites. A hypocrite, in the original Greek word, is an actor. You take on a personality of one who you are not that at all. So he tells them, you are taking on an act, a personality of someone who is not what you are. That's not who you are, what you're acting. That's not you. So you're a hypocrite. You're an actor. And Isaiah spoke well when he spoke of you. These are worshipers of God. These are priests. These are those who were in the synagogues, teaching, leading in prayer. He called them all hypocrites. The worshipers. He says, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, and their heart is far from me. Dear brothers, dear sisters, and dear friends, when we read this, what do we think? Like, is this just written for us to look back and say, oh, wow, those Pharisees, whoa, they were so bad. Is that where it takes us? Or does, because every word of God that is given is meant for our instruction. Something to prick us, to admonish us, to uplift us, to point us to only one. The light, the source of light, light himself, Jesus Christ. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me. Wake up! The alarm clock is ringing. Wake up! It is time to come out of your sleep. He says, you're worshiping me vainly. Teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. You've laid aside the commandment of God, and you hold the tradition of men. And he points out the washing of pots and cups and many other. He says, many other such things like ye do. And he says to them, continuing on, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Is it a tradition? Is it a tradition that I might do that makes me feel that I am worshiping my God? Is there anything in my life that I do because I'm supposed to do it? That's called a tradition. Because I've been taught to do this or this. I've been taught I'm supposed to wake up in the morning and kneel and pray. Is it by a tradition that I'm doing this? Or is my heart causing me to fall upon my knees, to kneel before my God, my Creator, clasp my hands together, and lift my heart unto the throne where He takes it, takes an imperfect prayer, and makes it perfect and presentable before His Father? Do I just do it because that's what I'm supposed to do? Because the evil one who gives us evil thoughts that we're going to read, that we read about at the close here. The one who gives us all the evil thoughts. None of that comes from God. It all comes from the evil one. And it comes at times when we're sitting together in a sanctuary with the Word of God before us. Evil thoughts will come up. Evil, it invades our thoughts in our prayers. Those things that we live by come to us. Those things that move us, that are... That our thoughts are centered on, that our lives are centered around. And then I come in and I act a totally different person when I'm in the sanctuary. Is that my worship? Because he says here, you've laid aside the commandment of God then. If this is my worship, the commandment of God, which is to have a clean heart and a mind of Christ in all its purity and beauty, no ill towards anyone, nothing but love, kindness, truth. Truth. Have I set that aside and still carry on a tradition to come and to do and to do? Because, dear ones, we can convince ourselves of many things. Here it tells us that they would, the law of God is to honor your mother and your father. So as my mother and my father approach and are in their old age, it is my responsibility, God-given responsibility, to make sure that my mom and dad, my parents, are taken care of. They took care of me when I was a baby, and they watched me grow. And now they've reached an old age. They need my help. That's God saying this. And so this man here, their tradition, the priest said, you can dedicate your goods to the temple. Give it to the temple. And you'll be absolved of this commandment of God. So you take in the commandment of God, you put it aside, and you're going to follow a tradition that man says to give you. So you're going to feel good about this, that what you're going to give it to the treasury. You're going to give it to the temple. You're going to do something good with it. Meanwhile, the commandment of God is ignored. And they still worship God. They worshiped him. And God says they did it in vain. In vain means it is of zero value. It is of zero value. When a man is thirsty and you give him a cup and there's no water in it, it's vain. There's no value in it. And that's how we can come to the point to worship God. Vain. No, nothing in it. God isn't glorified. God isn't honored. If my heart isn't there. If I'm asleep. And I don't want to wake up. No, I heard you. Snooze. Let me keep sleeping. Wake up. Snooze. I don't want to get up. It's too hard. It's too hard to do. Yes, it is. It's actually impossible to do what Jesus asks with an unregenerate heart. It's impossible. So yes, I do want to keep hitting the snooze. I don't want to wake up because I'm comfortable dreaming. I'm comfortable dreaming that I'm worshiping. I'm comfortable. Leave me alone. He turns then to the people. And he says, hearken, listen. Listen unto me, every one of you, and understand. Hear me. Hear me what I'm going to tell you, and understand what I'm going to say. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Listen. And what does he say there? His disciples come and ask him concerning the parable to explain it. He says, are you also without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever things from without that enter into man, it cannot defile him? How can a piece of molded bread defile me? How can I be unclean before my God who gave me a new heart, who transformed me into his image as I worship and have given him my heart, my life, how can a piece of moldy bread defile me? It cannot. He says, don't you understand that? No, it's that which comes out of a man. That's what sin is. Sin is that which comes from the heart and the will of a man. The heart and the will of a man. That's what makes it so gross and so ugly and so evil and so bad. Because it comes from within me. And it says, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, listen to what's coming from within, out of the heart of men. So from inside of me, out of me, my heart, what's coming? And you know who sees every thought? You know whose every thought is before him? He sees it in its entirety, in its whole purpose, in everything that its intention is. Jesus. These are hypocrites standing before him. And he says, you're a hypocrite. Why does he say that to him? Because he knows their thoughts. He knows why they came to him. He knows what they're trying to do. And he knows what they're doing to the people. And he knows he's giving the people no hope, that they're giving the people no hope. And he came to give hope, to give life to man. And he knows every thought, and he says here, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed what? What comes out of me? What comes out of a man? An unregenerate heart, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. I'm good. I don't murder. Jesus says, if you hate, thefts, and yes, not giving an honest day of work to your boss is a theft. You're stealing from him. He's paying you to do something that you don't want to do, so you're going to take it easy. That's stealing. Thefts. A regenerate heart doesn't do that. A heart that is right before God, that is pure, doesn't do things that will cause men to look at you and say, what? And you're calling upon God? You can't give me an honest day of work, an honest answer? Covetousness? Is that what our hearts are? Do we covet that which my neighbor has? Do I look upon with an envy those things that someone else has? Does my heart desire that for myself? That's evil. God cannot, James says, God cannot tempt me with this because God is good. He cannot be tempted with anything. He cannot be. So that means he cannot tempt anyone with anything either. There's nothing but goodness that comes from God. Think about it. If you're a good person, God-fearing man, can you tempt somebody to sin? If you can, if I can, what is my worship? What is my worship? Because from within, if I'm able to tempt, cause a man to be tempted by something, and I claim to be good, I claim to be born again, then I'm not. I don't have a mind of Christ. I don't have a heart that Christ lives in me. I haven't put on the armor of light. I haven't put on the Lord Jesus. Because if I did, that means I'm good. Not me, but God who is in me, creating a new man, making all things new again. And it's just for us to see. God is good. He cannot tempt a man with evil. And if we are good, we can't either. If we have God in us, we can see that. So these thoughts, it says, they precede a covetousness, wickedness. That's coming from an unregenerate heart. It cannot come from a heart that has been regenerated. So he says, Wake up. Is this you? An evil eye? Jealousies and envies? That's an evil eye. I want that for myself. Blasphemy. Look what he puts at the end, pride and foolishness. All of these things brings about foolishness. Foolishness are the actual acts of doing. Pride. Abomination before God. To lift oneself up, to think of himself as anything. And we call ourselves born again. If that's the case, Jesus says, listen to me and understand. That which coming from within you comes from the heart, the will. It comes from you. It comes from who you are. It comes from who you are. Don't blame it on the devil. The devil is out to deceive, to destroy. He hates. He loathes us if we call upon God with a pure heart. And I often wondered, does Satan want to see the church not gathering together? Does he want the church to be closed? Because many are deceived in church. And Satan is quite content with a man who does, and his heart is evil. Keep doing. Keep going to church. Keep bending the knee. Keep putting the money in. It is impossible, according to the Word of God, that an unregenerate heart can worship a holy and true God. It's not possible that an unregenerate heart can worship him. All these things, he says again, come from within, and they defile the man. Brothers and sisters, my dear friends, our Lord doesn't speak in terms that will make us feel good. He doesn't give us things that make us feel good. But what he wants to give us is, he told Nicodemus, I want to give you a new heart. You have to be born again. Because he knows when a man is born again, he knows when he will come into my heart, into your heart, my dear friend, my dear brother and sister. He knows when he is in our heart, the joy that is in him, the peace that is in him prevails. Gone is my will. Gone is my evil heart. I've been created anew. That's why Jesus said, because this is what in the heart is in the heart of a man. That's why he said, you must be born again. And if you're going to worship me, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. What does our worship look like? Is our worship only Sundays? Because if Sunday is the only time that we worship him, our worship must be at all times of the day. Our heart has to be consumed by him in order to truly be worshiping. Does God accept a man to have any of this and then kneel before him and pray and call upon him, Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want to be good. Lord, I do, and I get up off my knees and I head right out and do what I always want to do. Is God glorified and honored? Is that worship? Do we worship our God? Because here he talks about how the trappings of ceremonialism or the doings of certain things. No, dear ones, we need to do everything that the Word of God instructs us to do. But we have to do it not out of hypocrisy, not out of an act, but out of that which comes from within. A heart that has been regenerated, created anew in His likeness, walking in the light, being the light. One of the scariest things that I can read in Scripture, where Jesus tells me and you, you are the light. That means it is up to me, it is up to you, to where we go that we shine. If we don't shine, how are we worshiping Him? How can we claim Him if we're not shining? It is my prayer, my dear brothers and sisters, my dear friends, that we will take these words that the Lord has given us, where He says, hear, listen. If you have an ear to hear, then hear. Listen to these things that the Lord has spoken. Those are His words. All of the Scripture is His words, inspired by Him, given to His blessed apostles to write and to instruct and to give that which is needful for a man to be able to escape from that which Jeremiah says, that the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, the heart. And Jesus can make us new again. Do we love Him enough to yield our heart and our will unto Him? May God bless His word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.
David wrote the words many years before Jesus walked this earth, and Isaiah, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." The words of Jesus Christ that we've meditated on this evening spoke to the hearts of the Pharisees who did not have truth in their inward parts, and to the disciples who lacked understanding. And it is nothing new. Neither is anything new that man desires to find his own way out. Pharisees with their commands. In the time of the kings, they would often backslide and replace the priests, those who would be mediators in their place and their time, with mediators of their own design and their own desire to approach God on their own terms. But there is only one way of deliverance, of cleansing, and that's our high priest, Jesus Christ. And no one can take his place. He has the function of purging and cleansing. As David says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." He is that one true and living way that takes all of the old ways of men and can create a new heart, cleansed and meet for his use. May we each find that blessing to know that there's no other way and to trust in him alone. May God bless his word.